We're thankful for this opportunity that God has given us once again to assemble together. I'm glad I've been set free from sin.
Amen.
The Bible says that the Son sets you free indeed.
Amen.
What a blessing it is to know that personally, experimentally, to know that in my own heart and in my own life, to have experienced that love that passes all understanding and that peace that you enjoy, the joy of the Lord that just floods your soul. What a blessing it is to enter into the joy of the Lord and worship. I mean, truly worship God. Those of us that have been saved, we know how to worship God.
Amen.
And I pray that if you're here today visiting with us, that you will worship God. The Bible says that those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I think we know how to do that, don't we?
Amen.
We should if we're saved by the grace of God. And so let's worship the Lord today. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. We're thankful for visitors that are among us and pray that God blesses you for making it your choice to meet with us today. I've got a couple of things in my heart that I just need to share with you this morning, and I won't be very long. I've been trying to preach, I didn't intend for it to develop in some kind of series, but I've just been trying to follow the Lord from day to day and from week to week. But I've been speaking on the Lord's Prayer, and I want to read that again. I think it's worthy of our acknowledgement. One of the things I want you to notice as we read through the Lord's Prayer, and this study has been a fascinating study for me. It's been one of those, it's just blessed my life. When I was in school, I wrote several papers on the Sermon on the Mount. I have never in my life, in my ministry, spent this much time in study of the Lord's Prayer. You might recall through the years, I've tried to share with you the teaching of a chiasm. When I studied Hebrew, I learned that many of the Jewish writings and many of the Psalms, even the logistics of their language, even in a sentence, the subject's in the middle. And I've talked to you about how that the Jews would find the subject, the main subject of a particular psalm or the subject of their sentence, how they would look for that in the middle of a sentence or a psalm. I've taught that to you through the years. And tried to share with you various psalms that it just becomes real obvious, for instance, the psalm that talks about the one who keeps the city, the watchman watcheth in vain, except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain, except the Lord watch the city, the watchman watcheth in vain. And at the center of that psalm is, children are a heritage of the Lord. The subject of that psalm is the home, the family. Listen, we need God looking out over our homes. Chiasm. For the first time in my life, I counted the number of words in the Lord's Prayer. I don't know why I never thought to do that before. You know what's right at the middle, in the very center, at the very heart of this prayer? Forgive us our debts. And so let us read from the 6th chapter of Matthew, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let me read the addendum there in verses 14 and 15. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your Father, your heavenly Father, will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not people their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Listen, the most essential, the most blessed, and the most difficult thing that's ever been provided for us is the forgiveness of sin. It's the most essential thing, because if you do not have your sins forgiven and blotted out, you'll spend eternity in hell. It's the most blessed thing, because when you experience the forgiveness of sin, you enter into a relationship and a fellowship with a holy God and enter into the family of God. Man, that's a blessed thing. It was the most difficult thing because it cost Jesus His life on the cross. So it was the most blessed thing, the most essential, and it is the most essential thing, and it is the most difficult thing. There's two aspects of sin. There's two main words in forgive us our debts. The first of all, we must understand sin. And there's a twofold aspect to sin. First of all, there's a future aspect. Listen, if you don't have your sins forgiven, if you don't experience an application of the blood of Jesus Christ upon your soul, if you don't have your sin debt canceled, you'll spend eternity in hell. Amen. Now that's a future ramification of sin. But there's also a present aspect of sin. You'll never experience the fullness of life to experience the forgiveness of sin. Actually, if you remain in sin, it brings you into a consequence. It brings you into judgment. It brings you into a state of guilt. Actually, you can't experience the true joy and peace of life till you have your sins canceled. The first three petitions of this prayer is with respect to God. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The next three petitions have reference to our needs. Have reference to man. Give us this day our daily bread. And then there's two petitions that are spiritual. Forgive us our debts and keep us from temptation. Now, it just makes sense to me that you would first want to deal with the natural before you deal with the spiritual. And there's two petitions with respect to the spiritual, and there's only one with regard to the natural. But listen, people who have to be alive before they can be forgiven. I often have said, you know, born once, you die twice. Yeah, born twice, you die once. But you have to be born and you have to eat bread and you have to be alive before you have spiritual needs. We must have a relationship with this holy God, and the only way to ever have a relationship with a holy God is to deal with the sin issue.
Amen.
It's paramount, us dealing with our sins. That's the thrust and that's the theme of this prayer. Forgive us our debts, or forgive us our sins. Now, I've taught you through the years that there are five Greek words with respect to sin. You can look this up in Thayer's, or you can look up in Young's Analytical Concordance. There's the first one that has reference to us missing the mark. Missing the mark. Like you're shooting at a target and you miss the mark. Or I guess a better illustration would be for us to all stand in a line and all of us attempt to jump to Galton Road. We would all miss the mark. None of us would be up. No, I guess a better illustration would be for us to jump to Alabama. I mean, we just wouldn't miss the mark. None of us are capable of giving glory to God.
Amen.
We all miss the mark. And the reason we miss the mark is because of sin. John also talked about sin, and the Greek word used there has reference to lawlessness. There's also a Greek word that has reference to him putting a line down and us crossing over the line, transgressing, moving across the line. There's words that have reference, Greek words that have reference to us slipping. Like the ones used in verses 14 and 15. Transgression there, the Greek word, has reference to us falling, slipping into sin. We just can't help ourselves. We just fall into sin. There's a Greek word that has reference to us just being in rebellion against God. Not even trying to miss hit the mark. Not even trying to stay off the line. We just willfully rebel against God. That's wickedness. That is sin. And then there's the word, the Greek word used here for the word debt. Debt. Every transgression, every sin, every slip up, every crossing the line, every missing the mark accumulates a debt. A debt that we owe God. Every one of them. And I don't know if you remember or not, but when we went through the book of Revelation, when we read in the latter part of the book of Revelation, that God has kept some books. People, those are accounting books. That is the debt that we owe God. He opens up the books and He judges us out of the books. Amen? Let me give you, well, I was going to give you four things, but let me at least give you two things with regard to the principle concerning sin. First of all, sin brings us into a state of guilt. We are guilty before God. And secondly, it brings us into a state of judgment. God holds us accountable for our sins. We are guilty before God, and we will stand in judgment before God. Actually, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, it says that we are therefore guilty before God. Guilty before God. We have broken His law. We have transgressed His law. And there's a penalty for that. We read in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin, that's the penalty or the sentence of sin. What is it? It is death. The wages of sin is death. Praise God, the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm telling you, man's a sinner. He's lawless. He has broken God's law. And he stands in judgment before God because of his sins. Let me give you a second principle with respect to sin. Forgiveness is available by God on the grounds of Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Forgiveness is offered. If sin is the problem, the provision is forgiveness. It is offered by God on the grounds and the merits of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
Yeah. So we're guilty. We have transgressed God's law. We under condemnation. We stand in judgment. But God offers forgiveness, and He offers forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. And through the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, let me just give you just a few things the Bible says. That He remembers our sins no more. That He blots out our transgressions. Psalms 103. What is it? Verse 3. Is that right? That He blots out our transgressions. He eliminates our iniquities. You move over to verse 13 of the 103rd Psalm. And it says that He removes them as far as the east is from the west. So He blots out our transgressions. He passes over our iniquities. Actually, He buries them in the depths of the sea. How does He do that? He does that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, He wants to forgive people of their sins. God wants to forgive people of their sins. He's a holy God, and He cannot forgive that sin unless the penalty is paid for. Somebody must be accountable for the debt.
Amen.
And Christ paid the debt in full. Yeah, He took our place. And forgiveness is offered by God on the grounds of the death of Jesus. Let me give you a third principle. I was only going to give you two because of time, but let me give you one third principle. Confession of sin is necessary for receiving that forgiveness through Christ. Confession. See, it's confession that aligns us with who we are and what we have done. Confession is necessary. In Acts chapter 20, Paul said he went from house to house, preaching both to the Jew and Greek, repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. There must be confession of sin before there's true repentance of sin. We read in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says there, if we confess our faults one to another, He is just and faithful to forgive us our sins. And He will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John said, confession is necessary for the receiving of forgiveness. Amen. Listen, in this sermon, he began, blessed are the poor in spirit. There must be a beggarly spirit about you when you come to God. There must be repentance. There must be godly sorrow. Yeah. He talked about blessed are the poor in spirit. Listen, in the midst of this beggarly spirit, you need to do what it says in this sermon. You need to mourn over your sins in verse 4 of chapter 5. He said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He said, blessed are the meek. Listen, you need to humble yourself in the sight of God that He might lift you up. And it says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those that come in a beggarly spirit, those that are mourning over their sins, those of us that have humbled ourselves, and those that do humble themselves before God, He will lift you up.
Amen.
Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they, everybody say they shall be filled. Yeah. If you refuse to acknowledge your sinfulness, forgiveness will be nowhere around you.
Amen.
You must acknowledge your sinfulness. See, I'm concerned about a lot of people, a lot of churches that refuse to confess.
Amen.
Refuse to acknowledge their sinfulness. How can you say, hallowed be thy name, having reference to the holiness of God, without having a consciousness of your sins?
Amen.
How can you do that? You can't. One of the first things that happens when you come into the presence of a holy God is you acknowledge your sins.
Amen.
Remember there in, and I'm closing, in the 18th chapter of Luke, it says two men went into the temple to pray, one a publican, the other a Pharisee. The Pharisee, he went in, he just barged into the temple and he said, God, I'm here. And he said, I'm thankful I'm not like other people are. Perhaps he forgot what the Bible says, that there's none righteous, comma, no, not one. I guess that Pharisee that went into the temple that day, he might have thought of that verse. There's none righteous but me, perhaps is what he said. That's why God said, there's none righteous, comma, no, not one. He says, there's none righteous, including you. And he said, I'm thankful I'm not like other men are. I'm not one of these sinners out there. Thankful I'm not like that publican standing out there. And he went over a list of his moral deeds and his religious duties.
That publican was out there, wouldn't so much lift up his eyes into heaven. But what did he do?
He smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. Jesus said, that man, rather than how the Pharisee, went down to his house justified.
You know what the difference was between those two men? One acknowledged his sin and the other didn't.
Amen.
That was the difference.
Confession! I'm telling you, confession is good for the soul.
Amen.
Acknowledging our sins. Listen, when we pray, we need to acknowledge our sins. We need to acknowledge the debt that we've incurred throughout that day as Christians. But those of you that have never been born again to the Spirit of God, you need to acknowledge your need of Jesus Christ, your sinfulness. You need to come to Him, and you need to come today. Let's get a song to sing. If there's somebody here, lost and undone, listen, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. But you need to confess your sins. You need to acknowledge your sins. You need to realize that sin is only taken care of through the blood of Jesus. Your sins can be blotted out. We read in the book of Colossians, and this is great, chapter 1. Get my book. One of my favorite verses. I'm going to close with this, I think. This is good. In the book of Colossians, he said this in the second chapter. He said, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. In other words, he's telling us that we are not able to take care of our own sin problem. We're dead when it comes to dealing with our sins. There's no human achievement or human accomplishment that we can do to eliminate sin. It took a divine accomplishment.
Amen.
He said, which you have occurred. Listen what it says. He said, and hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you. I don't know if you realize or not, but those pages in that book of that debt, they were ripped out. Yeah, they were piled up. Listen to this verse. They were taken and done with. What did God do with them? He said he took out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against you. All of that record and all that debt of the transgressions that you have incurred. What did he do with them? He said, which was contrary to us. He took them out of the way. How? By nailing them to his cross. All the pages of that book of debt were taken out. My transgressions, the debt that I owed God for my sin, for my lawlessness, for my crossing over the line, for my rebellion. He took them and he nailed them to the cross. When Jesus gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished. In the Greek, paid in full. Let's stand and sing. Forgive us our debts. Listen, your debt, your sin debt can be canceled through the blood of Jesus today. Is there somebody here lost? Appreciate you listening to me. When the books are open. Oh, yeah. That's how they remember no more. That's how they're cast in the depths of the sea. That's how they're as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. They're blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Canceled. Let's sing. So somebody here lost. You need Jesus. Listen, Jesus paid the debt in full for you. Would you come? Is there somebody here lost in it?
It's a big problem. Oh, but there's a remedy. There's a provision been made for the problem of sin, and it's Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. What do you need to be saved from? You need to be saved from sin. Listen, it'll destroy you. It'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you there longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you had to pay. Come to Jesus. Ask God to forgive you that debt you owe Him for every sin you ever commit. But it was paid for by Jesus hanging on the cross. God has always been a God of justice. He's always been a God of retribution. I mean, all through the Old Testament. I mean, if you were out chopping with an axe and your axe head flew off and hit somebody and hurt them, you were accountable. God held you accountable. It was retribution. You know, if you accidentally did something that caused some kind of property damage, or one of somebody else's livestock got damaged and you were involved in that, there was always retribution that had to be paid, whether small or great. Everything from, you know, you paying for the damage to the losing of your life. You owe God for the transgressions that you've committed. And either you pay for them, or somebody else pays for them, but they must be paid. And every one of us has been saved. Every one of us has been saved. We've had it paid for by Jesus. And I don't know how to explain this. You've got to experience it. I mean, you really do. But when it's paid for by Jesus, it even eliminates the guilt. I don't even know how that works. Can anybody explain that? Yeah, that's what it is. It's grace. It's that new positioning that we enter into when we are judicially forgiven, where we enter into a new standing with God. And it also takes care of the guilt. Not only the judgment, but also the guilt. It's still mysterious to me. I still can't explain it. Some of us, we should be guilt ridden. Oh, come on. For the stuff we've done. But somehow the blood of Jesus just eliminates even the guilt. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Wow, there's power in the blood. Power in the blood of Jesus. Appreciate you listening to me. God bless you is my prayer. We've had a good day in the Lord. I'm just thankful I'm saved. On my way to heaven. Been good to be here.